This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, hanging out here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe sitting here in the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out on the road as well for this fun college football Saturday. Had a fun first hour. We will have a fun second hour on deck for you guys, because coming up in 15 minutes, former NFL quarterback, now NBC analyst Chris Sims will be joining us here on the Lombardi Line. We'll talk a little bit of NFL, his thoughts on week two. Chris Sims was high on Zach Wilson. We'll get his thoughts on Zach Wilson and the New York Jets as they take on the Dallas Cowboys coming up in 15 minutes. Also 30 minutes from right now, Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight and co-host of the College Football Betting Podcast, will join us with his college football plays and his NFL plays for the weekend. But Michael, we start hour number two, as always, talking about games that we wanted to highlight. And we'll fire on almost pretty much anything, but there is one game every week that you want no part of, Michael. Which game is that here in week two of the National Football League regular season?
Well, you know, Femi, there's always games I want no part of, right? You know, and a lot of it, that's what I try to do. To me, the greatest, I spend most of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday finding ways to eliminate games, because I can't control the uncertainty of it all. And, you know, and instinctively, that when the Jets opened up against the Cowboys at 9 and 9.5, I thought, well, you know, that seems like a good play. But then I kept convincing myself, well, bad offensive lines don't travel. Today I wake up and find out Brandon Cooks isn't going to play and Zach Martin might not play for the Cowboys. So there's a lot of uncertainty that goes in this game. And the biggest uncertainty besides the injury factor is, what will we get from Zach Wilson? What will we get from Robert Saleh? What will we get from Nathaniel Hackett in terms of how are they going to manage Zach Wilson in this game? We know they'll play good defense. We know Dallas will play good defense. We know that because we also know the book knows that, because what, the under is 38.5. So nobody's expecting a high flying game. But because of the offensive line injuries in Dallas, because of the concerns of the Jets, I just said, you know what? My instincts say take the Jets to the 9.5. Now it's down to 9. But I don't want to get involved there. I think at the end of the day, in the fourth quarter, these games tend to get away from the team that is trying to manage a quarterback. So I stayed away. It's a Hall & Oates play for me.
Right, and that is the Hall & Oates play of the week. Jets at Cowboys.
I can't go for that. No, no can do.
No can do, indeed.
No can do.
Down there, I mean, at Jerry World.
I mean, no can do. It's just sometimes you can't. What looks obvious isn't obvious. And sometimes, as they've often said, the opposite of a good idea is another good idea. And so sometimes you just have to push it away.
The opposite of a good idea is another good idea. I don't think I've heard that one. That's a good one. Let's get to the line of the week, the game that you really are looking forward to and wanted to highlight here.
Well, the line movement in college football, particularly, Femi, if you go against the line movement in college, if you just did that as without even caring about the teams, you're going to make a big profit. And line movement in pro football, to me, is another area where I'm not sure it always works. When you look at sometimes, that's why it's, for me, it's so important to look at the betting contest numbers on Thursday, because they give you an indication of where they think the line's going to go out. They don't want to give away a free line in that contest. Mm-hmm. And so the Packers opened up as favorite, which made sense to me. Atlanta demonstrated no passing game whatsoever, right? And they ran the ball. They declared how they're going to run the ball. But for some reason, Atlanta is really becoming the popular team, and that line went from Green Bay being the favorite to now Atlanta being the favorite. And I don't know. I think they say Aaron Jones is going to play. They think he will play, which I think is important, right? They need him to play. And I think Jordan Love will play well. Atlanta's not a hard stadium to play in. You see the games. I mean, there's not a lot of people there. There'll be more Packer fans probably there than will be Falcon fans. Yep. I just think the Packers are good on defense. And if Atlanta's going to be one-dimensional, I assume they're going to start the game out running the football, and they'll probably get the lead based on the game plan runs. But once they adjust to what they're doing, I think Green Bay has a chance to get back in this game. And I think if you can take it as getting points with Green Bay when they were actually giving points, I'm not sure that's not a bad play.
Is there any concern with Green Bay's offense that maybe they looked good last week because Chicago's defense is so inept? Anything that like creeps into you thinking about, hey, maybe we're still a little bit uncertain about what this Green Bay offense with Jordan Love is?
Well, I think Green Bay, look, Green Bay's never going to be – they have to play the game a certain way, and I think they have to kind of slow it down. But they couldn't run the ball, Femi. I mean, really, when you break down that game, they couldn't run the ball against the Bears. I mean, I think what, Dylan had like 9 carries for – like 20 yards or, yeah. or 18 yards, he struggled.
That's rough.
I mean, it wasn't like they were an offensive great performance. So for me, I felt like, okay, you know, like they did some things, and I got to give credit to LaFleur, who I'm, you know, from talking with me on the thing. To me, I think you have to give credit to LaFleur for adjusting his game plan. You know, last week they were 53% run. This Atlanta was 54% run, and Green Bay was. Even though their completion percentage was just 55%, they were really good on third down and they were really good in the red area. And their points per play were 6.33. So I like that a lot. And I just think, to me, when you break down Green Bay defensively, they were really good on third down against Chicago. They're really good in third down. Even though there were a lot of completions, they made them work. They only allowed 4.4 yards per play. So I think Green Bay's better than people think defensively.
Yeah, you got to give credit to Matt LaFleur. Maybe coach of the year, Matt LaFleur. We'll see how the season unfolds, but that is a bet that I have in pocket.
Look, if they make the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to get some consideration. Big Daddy won't give it to him. But, you know, last week was the first time for anybody that's just watching the show for the first time. My cousin, Vince Lombardi, no relation to the coach, is a huge Packer fan. In fact, I actually am in Charlotte celebrating his son's birthday. His son's wedding today. So, but typically on a Sunday morning, I will of a Packer game, I will start getting texts the minute something bad happens about what's going on. It's the joy of my life to read those texts. I did love it. So last week, Femi, I didn't get a text. I didn't get one text of one complaint. I didn't get one complaint, which I would say could go in the text Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, I'm sure it was a week before the wedding, so maybe his mind was elsewhere thinking about the wedding.
No, his mind was not on. No, I know. Trust me, his mind's not on that. No, his mind's on. I can give it to you. His mind's on medicine, politics, and the Packers. That's it.
Oh boy. Well, tis the season. You tell him it's 12 months till next November. He's fire off some text messages with the election coming up. But no, I think it's gonna be an interesting game. All it's gonna take is one Bijan Robinson 15-yard run. You'll get the text. Don't you worry. You'll get the text.
I know that.
All right. Let's get to the coordinator battle of the week. Which X's and O's matchup do you think is most interesting?
So I really went back and studied this. And, you know, I think to me, this is one of the elements of the game that we really should need to spend more time discussing, is because that's all they talk about in the buildings in the NFL are the matchups. So Sean Payton against Jack Del Rio. 2021, they played Washington. He was in New Orleans, Jameis Winston. And they threw the ball effectively. They did not run the ball effectively, but they threw it. There were throws in there. Winston was 15 for 30 for 280 yards, and they won the game. And then when you check the opening game of that same season, Joe Lombardi, offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Chargers, he also could not run the ball against the Commanders, but they threw the ball very effectively. So what do I get from that? I get the ability to know that Peyton understands what Del Rio's doing in his coverages. He understands how to play him. Everybody's probably going to think they're going to run the ball a lot. I think they'll come out throwing and give Wilson some chances, especially down the field, especially if Judy comes back and plays. Mm-hmm. And then conversely, on the other side, we know that Vance Joseph opened the season last year against the Chiefs at Eric Bieniemy. But the last time I checked, even though Eric's on the Washington team, Mahomes didn't come with him. And I thought in that game, when you watch that game, Arizona kind of did some things that only Mahomes and Kelce could overcome. This will be a challenge for Sam Howell to handle the blitz, to handle the pressure, also to handle the crowd noise. Last week, you know, because of my two sons being coaching for the Raiders, I'm watching Raider games closely. And that crowd in Denver was alive. Mm-hmm. It was loud. And Garoppolo did a wonderful job of handling it, but it was loud. And Howell's going to have a hard time. And when you break down Washington, the attention to details, the attention to handle tough situations, I don't see it. So I like this coordinator matchup quite a bit.
Yeah, and it sounds like you like it in favor of the Denver Broncos here. Obviously, Joe Lombardi spent time with Sean Payton in New Orleans. Then, of course, was the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers. I know this is a game
that you say all the time. It's like you say all the time. The fights. It's about the fit and the fight. How this is going to go? Look, will Denver struggle to block the front? Yeah, everybody's Chase Young's back. Oh my gosh. Okay, when Chase Young played, he wasn't dominant. It wasn't like we're getting Micah Parsons back here now. He's got to prove he's a good player. If he was so good and had such great tape, Washington would have easily picked up his fifth year. He hasn't proven that yet. Now, could he? Maybe he can, just like Josh Jacobs did, just like Daniel Jones did. It's up in front of him. But, like, everybody's making a big deal. Well, Chase Young's back. Okay. Next. What else you have on your card?
Well, isn't he on a pitch count too? Like, I don't think he's going to get the full allotment of plays. Yeah,
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure he is on a pitch count. But I like this game. Besides, I think 0-1 teams. This is the second home game now for Denver. Denver cannot come out of this thing 0-2, losing two home games. It's going to be too hard.
Yeah, I think Denver will be like kind of the shrewd survivor play of the week for people that don't want to go with the big favorites there. They're under consideration for me. I don't know if I'm going to go with Denver because I think there's going to be more people that go with Denver than we actually think. But definitely could be an option for those of you who are in the survivor contest, especially in the Circus Survivor contest where I'm sitting, where there are still 7,000 plus entries still that are still alive for the $9+ million.
Buffalo beat, if the Raiders upset Buffalo tomorrow, that contest will be emptied out.
Yeah, we'll be at 7,000 to about 800, I think, is what, exactly. where that'll be, which Derek Stevens is not rooting for. He wants everybody to enjoy it. All right, Chris Sims, NBC Sports Analyst, joins us next to break down week two in the NFL.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. And our betting splits let you know where the money and bets are moving for every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes so you can see changes and all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi on the road doing wedding duty. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. Matt Youmans will be joining us in 15 minutes from now in studio. We'll talk some NFL and some college football. But to break down the NFL game, joining us now, you see him on Pro Football Talk each and every day, Monday through Friday. NBC NFL analyst, also the host of the Chris Sims Unbuttoned podcast. It's the one and only Chris Sims joining us from East Lansing, Michigan here on this Saturday morning. Chris, we appreciate you taking the time to wake up with us here on the Lombardi Line. Before we get to your game, Washington at Michigan State, let's talk some NFL and let's talk Jets Cowboys. Can the Jets survive this Aaron Rodgers injury and make this a competitive game tomorrow afternoon down there in Big D?
I do think so. I mean, listen, it's going to be a tough battle. We know that. We know how good Dallas's defense is, but I think, the other side of the coin there is the Jets defense is real as well. And, a little bit Dallas, as impressive as they were in week one against the Giants, there's one negative. Their offense didn't really have to execute or do anything or, work out the kinks from not playing a whole lot in the preseason or anything like that. So I don't know, where to gauge them exactly, but this Jets defense is special. And then the other thing, hey, we know Zach Wilson, it's going to be a lot of on him and what he looks like and decisions and, taking what's there and not making stupid mistakes. But also, one of the things Dallas had a problem with last year, and we'll see if they fixed it or not, is their run defense. And we saw the other night that Jets O-line, if it can stay healthy, I think is going to be able to move some people in the run game all year long. Now they got to get a little better at pass protection. But, yeah, I think if it's limit big mistakes, things like that, I do think the Jets can hang around and make this interesting.
Christopher, you loved Zach Wilson coming out, and that's not a knock. We all love certain players, but I don't think you can give up on that love. I know there's a perception out there, but if you were the offensive coordinator of the Jets and you were Nathaniel Hackett, What would you do to this offense to kind of maximize Wilson's strengths? Because he has strengths. He wasn't the second pick overall because he doesn't have any strengths. Is what would you do to maximize his strengths? And do you feel like, this is the most important part of the question, do you feel like he's changed and grown up and accepted that he has to be a professional player to take the next step?
Yeah, no, that's all the right questions right there. You know, one, I'm with you in that you don't give up on him, and that's why they don't want to give up on him. They know how talented he is. I mean, his talent is real, right? So, I mean, his arm, his movement, you know, he's a very explosive athlete. So the potential is there. We know that for sure. Now, I think, hey, the fact that he got drafted, yes, number two, to a defensive coach, to an offensive coordinator, and Matt LaFleur, or Mike LaFleur, excuse me, who hadn't called a play in the NFL to that point, I don't think any of those things necessarily helped Zach Wilson. So I think a lot was on his shoulders, and I think his head was spinning a little bit. And he told me, Mike, at the Hall of Fame game earlier this year, he goes, man, I was so uncomfortable, and you know, my head was spinning, and I was thinking about our offense and how to read defenses. That he's like, I almost forgot how to throw the football. He's like, It's really, he's like, I lost track of my mechanics and everything. So he's in a different mental space now than he was then. And of course, this was a huge offseason for him to be around Nathaniel Hackett and of course Aaron Rodgers to see how to approach the game like a real pro. And I don't think he really had anybody to kind of show him the ropes that way. And then on top of that, Mike, I think the thing I would like to see, you know, I know everybody, oh, you know, get the ball out of his hand quick, do this, do that, right? Hey, you know this too. Throwing the ball quick can be really dangerous. The risk-reward there is scary at times. Oh, yeah, we're going to jam it in there for a four-yard completion around Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs. It's a safe short throw. I don't know. I used to make a lot of those throws and go, damn, that was the scariest throw all day right there in between all those people, right? So I would like to see a little bit of, hey, run the ball, play action pass, max protect, make him feel comfortable. And we know Dallas plays a ton of man-to-man, and let these guys work down the field a little bit on them, because he will sit in the pocket and throw some lasers around the field. That's where I hope to see the offense go a little bit under Zach Wilson here.
Yeah, I think people.
Well, just to follow up on that real quick, Femi, I'll let you go after that. Al Davis would have said, Christopher, we did all that for 4 yards? Are you kidding me? And he's right.
Exactly. No. And listen, you want an Aaron Rodgers? What did they do to start the game the other night, Mike? You know, it was typical West Coast shotgun, three slants on one side. Right, all these basic stuff that I want to go, well, Buffalo saw this play, the first play in April OTAs. Like, what do you think this is? So, and then they thought the ball was going to be out quick. That's why they cut the D linemen. But they were all over what was downfield. And to me, that is what I hope they don't do. Because I think that is, you know, if you're Tom Brady hated three-step drop game, right, Mike? He didn't like to do that. Because, again, the risk-reward, trying to get it out quick into these tight windows, ball tipped, receiver gets hit as he caught it. There's a lot of disasters that can happen, and I think that's why, I don't love that aspect always.
We're speaking with Chris Sims, NFL analyst, former NFL quarterback. You can see him on X at CSimsQB. Also, check out Chris Sims Unbuttoned wherever you get your podcast. Well, let's talk quarterbacks. Let's talk these young quarterbacks, and particularly the two that will be facing each other in Atlanta, Jordan Love against Desmond Ridder. What were your takeaways from those guys in their week one performances, and what do you expect to see tomorrow afternoon down there in the ATL?
Well, one, I mean, listen, I was impressed with Green Bay altogether. I know Chicago is not going to be real great, but, you know, you watch football long enough, you can see, like, oh, wait, I don't care who they're playing. This team's got some talent and potential here. So I like that aspect. And then, you know, Jordan Love, his best receiver, Christian Watson, who's, you know, can fly, is one of the most explosive receivers in football, him not being out there. I've liked what Jordan Love has looked like all summer. It hasn't been perfect. You know, he's missed a few throws here and there. But the one thing, he doesn't look like deer in the headlights. He's very comfortable in the pocket. And where he's different than Aaron Rodgers at the age of 38, 39, and 40 is he's willing to hang in the pocket and let some plays develop downfield and strike for some explosive plays. So that's what I liked about Jordan Love. And he looks like he's getting comfortable week by week. They got a good O-line. They got a good defense. Hopefully he just continues to realize, like, I don't have to do it all. Atlanta, I like their team. But there's got to be more in the pass game. They're not going to win the NFC South or go to the playoffs if they think they're going to, you know, get the type of production in the pass game that they did last week. I know they're going to be able to run the ball and do that, but it's the NFL. You're not going to be able to run the ball and just mow over people week after week after week. There's got to be some semblance of a pass game. I like Desmond Ridder. His arm does not wow me. I think it's an NFL average arm. It's gotten better since Cincinnati as far as mechanics and things, which I won't get too deep into the weeds there. You know, he's a pretty good athlete, but that's definitely one thing I'm looking at to go. Atlanta, to me, is kind of an under-the-radar playoff team, but they definitely need a little bit more of the passing game to contribute here if they really want to be a threat in the NFC.
Yeah, I agree. I don't you get the sense that Ridder's a little bit too careful with the football, Christopher? Like, I don't think he trusts his accuracy to put it into tight windows. And, you know, I
agree.
Great, you're 15 for 18, but at some point you got to make a hard throw. And I don't get the sense he trusts that enough.
I agree, and I think they got to open it up that way a little bit. I know we all want to take care of the football and do all of those things, and that's important, definitely. But, you know, there's a fine line there in, like, okay, we're going to protect the football and throw short passes, and then, wait, let's actually try to go win the game and make some plays and put some real pressure on a defense. And that's where I feel like they're missing out. And, Mike, I mean, that's the thing that I worry about Desmond Ridder. I know he's got all the intangibles. They like the person. They think he's made of the right stuff. And I've been around him before. I get that totally. But I did question him coming out of Cincinnati and his ability, like you said, to control the ball on 15-yard out routes and comebacks and really put it into a tight window like you got to in the NFL, or hit a deep crosser that's 25 yards down the middle of the field where you go, yeah, he's only open by a foot, but that's open in the NFL. You got to throw it in there and throw a strike. And there is reluctance there. And then that's where he looks to maybe run or do something else off of that. But, yeah, that aspect of their offense has got to open up, and I think he's got to be a little bit more aggressive. And they got to trust him a little bit more, I guess. We're at that point here, too.
Hey, Chris, we've got about 20 seconds left. You'll also be on Football Night America on Sunday Night Football, Dolphins, Patriots. Who do you like in that game in Foxborough?
Well, I'm going to go with the Dolphins, but I don't go, oh, let's just write it in stone here. No, I mean, that Patriots defense is real. I mean, so that they'll have some tricks there for sure. But that Dolphins offense is as creative as you see in football. It's as fast as you see in football. And I just think they got a little too much talent for New England. I'm going to take them to win a close one.
All right. He is Chris Sims.
For you would have thrown for 400 yards in that game. Tua had no
problem. Call me next week, and we'll have another discussion about that, and we can get into that. I'd love to.
100%. We got him booked for next Saturday. Let's write that down, Elliot. All right. He is Chris Sims, NBC analyst. Check him out on today's Washington-Michigan State broadcast over on Peacock, 5 o'clock Eastern. Awesome stuff there from Chris Sims. Matt Hume is joining us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Looking to be a better bettor? Of course you are. And tens of thousands of people have already turned to Juice Reel. That's Juice, R-E-E-L, in the App Store. Juice Reel is not a sports book. It's a tool to help you beat the books. Juice Reel connects all of your sports betting accounts into one app, loads all of your betting history, and gives you an analytical edge backed by nearly $1 billion in bets from sports bettors in all 50 states. Use that data to follow the winners and fade the losers. Don't place another bet until you've downloaded this revolutionary sports betting tool, Juice Reel. That's juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. It's absolutely free. Download Juice Reel to your iPhone or Android device today and become a better bettor. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe sitting here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi on the road doing wedding duties. Should be a fun, festive afternoon / evening where Michael Lombardi sits. But joining us right now in studio here.
As long as there's a TV there. You cannot have a wedding in the fall without TVs in the room. That's a rule. Matt Humans, if you get married, so we got phones. You better have TVs in the damn room.
I don't even like to talk about weddings. I hate weddings, and I'll never be involved in one. And I got invited to one last year in the middle of the football season. I said, no, what kind of guy gets married in the middle of football season? That doesn't happen. Okay. You got all summer. You have all summer to get that done. You don't do it in the fall.
And spring. And spring. Why not? Yeah. As long as it's after the Final Four, all spring.
Well, breaking news. My wedding is going to be the weekend of the Final Four. So that's where we're sitting here in Las Vegas.
You will have you better have TVs in there, Femi. Yeah, that's all I can tell you. Just put TVs in there. That solves the problem.
I might encourage our guests to go ahead and maybe use their phones. Go ahead and, you know, since we live in 2023, next year will be 2024. It's where maybe you can pull it up on the phone if you want to watch the national semifinals. But that's neither here nor there.
Too small of a screen. No, stop that. No, we need a big screen.
All right. Well, Matt Youmans is joining us, host of VEASAN tonight. You can check that out Monday through Friday here on the Sports Betting Network, 9 to midnight Eastern time. Also co-host of the College Football Betting Podcast. We'll talk some college football a little bit later on here, Matt, but let's discuss the National Football League. You got a lot of plays here in the NFL. Week number 2, overreaction week, and we'll start with your play in Duval County with the Chiefs and the Jaguars.
I hate that Duval County.
Duval!
All right, what sort of pro team has a chant about the county it's located in? Who gives a damn?
I agree.
Seriously.
Got to get a Clark County count here for the Vegas Raiders.
You know what? I laid 3 with the Chiefs here. And I don't bet road favorites too often. But, you know, Chiefs have had basically 9 or 10 days to prep for this game. And they've got 2 of their top 3 players back. Pretty obvious analysis here with Chris Jones back on the defensive line. The guy who collapses the pocket. He was missed in the game against Detroit last week. Travis Kelce, going to be really valuable to have Patrick Mahomes. Have him back in the middle of the field. Look at the numbers of Patrick Mahomes passing in week 1 to his wide receivers and over the middle of the field. The worst numbers of Mahomes' career. You know, so it's going to make a difference to have Kelce back there. And I also think this Jaguars team is really soft in the secondary. Hmm. And the offensive lines get some issues. And I wasn't that impressed with the Jaguars and what they did against the Colts a week ago. This is one road favorite I will play.
How about, you know, the Ravens are beat up, Matt. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm surprised this line hasn't gone back to 3.5. I mean, Humphreys, they lost 2 starting linemen. I know Burrow was bad last week. So were the Bengals team. But aren't you surprised this line hasn't gone up? And I got to believe the Bengals laying just 3. I know they play close games. But how do the Ravens match up in the secondary with their defense against this team?
You know, I'm not sure. The only thing I could say here is, you know, John Harbaugh's got a coaching edge in this game. But, yeah, you're right. I wrote about – this is one of the picks I wrote up. It's on vsin.com this morning, too. You got 2 starters out on the offensive line, 2 starters out in the secondary. I don't think it's an automatic bounce-back spot for Joe Burrow. He missed basically all of training camp, mm-hmm. Did miss the entire preseason. He looked like a guy who was not ready to play last week. He threw for 82 yards. Bengals had 6 first downs. I don't know if they can flip the switch and be great on offense this week, but Michael, I agree with you. With the Ravens injury situation, I think you got to play the Bengals here, and I did lay the 3.
Yeah, that's a bet I've also made as well here with the Cincinnati Bengals.
6 first downs last week. Think about that. That's just pathetic.
I mean, it was like 80-something passing yards for Joe Burrow. You'll never see that again here. We'll go ahead and report that news right now. We're hanging out with Matt Youmans, host of VEASAN tonight, also the co-host of the College Football Betting Podcast here. How about another one of your plays here? You're going dumpster diving down in Big D here with Gang Green.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, okay. Didn't think of it that way, but... you know, the adjustment from Aaron Rodgers to Zach Wilson should be about 6 points. But I'm banking on the New York defense here, too. And I think this defense is legit. Breece Hall can make plays. Man, he's an explosive running back when he's healthy. You saw what he was doing last year before he was injured in that game in Denver. And when he was out of that offense, made a big difference. Garrett Wilson's excellent young wide receiver. And I think what you got to do with Zach Wilson here, and I don't really trust the Jets coaching staff that much, but ask Zach Wilson to sort of manage the game. Don't make any mistakes. Let your playmakers go to work for you. Let this defense, I think, go to work for you. And also, you know, the Cowboys won 40-0 in week 1. Dak Prescott did not look that sharp in that game. Now, he didn't really have to be, but at the same time, you know, it's a little bit of the Dak Prescott we saw last year. He wasn't very sharp, and he was throwing a lot of picks. What I think is going to happen here is the Jets are going to find a way to keep this close. In betting, there's something called the fallen star theory. When your star goes down, you bet on that team the next game. Everybody mm-hmm. elevates their level of play, and you're going to get the best effort out of that team the week after the star goes down or the game after the star goes down. Kind of banking on that with the Jets here. And also, I think the Cowboys are in a bit of a letdown type of situation after they win by 40 on the road. They probably think they're a lot better than they really are. Sorry, Femi.
Yeah,
I know you're a Cowboys guy.
It's all right.
But this is a situational type of spot where I like to look for overreactions and, you know, play the ugly dog, as you say, dumpster diving.
How about Denver? I'm with you on Denver. You know, it's interesting. The ticket count in the Denver-Washington game is split right down the middle, 50-50, but 80% of the money is on Denver. That's why that 3.5 won't move down to 3. So talk about this game, Matt. What do you like about this one?
Okay, first of all, the Broncos got to find a way to get over the 17-point hurdle. I mean, you wouldn't think that's such a high hurdle, but they averaged 16.9 points last year. Lowest scoring offense in the NFL. Sean Payton comes in. Everything's going to be different, right? Well, they score 16 points in the first week against the Raiders. But Jerry Jeudy's going to be back. He's going to give the offense a boost. And if you watched Sam Howell last week, and obviously Ron Rivera did not watch a lot of Sam Howell in practice last year. He really didn't know what type of player or quarterback he had. Well, if you watch Sam Howell last week, he got sacked 6 times. This is by the Arizona defense, okay? 6 sacks, threw a pick. Lost a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. He looked like a guy who didn't deserve to be starting in the NFL. I don't think he's going to go on the road and win this game. And a lot of times when you see these 3.5-point favorites, that's telling you it's a pretty strong home favorite. The weak home favorites are the ones favored by 2.5. You know, a lot of people want to hesitate. Well, I don't want to lay 3 in the hook. I think the Broncos are going to win this game, probably win it by 7 to 10 points. I just think this Washington Commanders team is pretty weak.
Yeah, it's Sam Howell's first road start, by the way, in a pretty raucous environment at elevation in Denver against a desperate road team.
I would add to that too, Matt, bad lines don't travel. Washington's got a bad offensive line. Bad lines don't travel. Bad lines don't typically play well in crowded and noisy stadiums. And I think this Washington offensive line, which they really did nothing this offseason to improve it, makes it even harder for Hal. Go ahead, Femi. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you're okay. It's a great point that you made there.
No, he was sacked 6 times by the Cardinals.
Yeah,
the Cardinals are not going to get 6 sacks in a game the rest of the year.
No.
The rest of the month, they won't get 6 sacks. They will not get 6 sacks the rest of this month. Let's write that down, Elliot.
Elliot, make sure you get that down on September 16th.
We'll keep track of that.
We'll keep tabs. Let's talk about a line. We'll see if this line can travel to Foxborough. That's the Miami Dolphins taking on the New England Patriots. Right now, we're sitting at 2.5 there. Dolphins favorite, 46.5. Sunday Night Football, what do you like?
Yeah, I'm still irritated. I had the Patriots last week, and you know I bet them +5 over the summer. I bet them +4. Played them in the contest. Michael, you can't spot the Eagles a 16-0 lead on mistakes.
No.
And, you know, you look back at that game, there's got to be so much that irritates Bill Belichick. You got to clean up all these mistakes. And the Patriots outgained the Eagles by 130 yards. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, one trend to watch is the Eagles do not play that well on the road. They squeaked by 4 bad teams on the road last year. They didn't deserve to beat the Patriots. I had a loser there with the Patriots, and I'm still a little bit ticked off with that. Hey, the Dolphins, they're going from L.A. to Foxborough, West Coast to East. They have to stop in Canton, Ohio, so Tua can get inducted into the Hall of Fame on the way. Is there a team that faces a tougher road trip?
That's a good line.
I just said to Christopher Sims, tell me a throw. I mean, everybody's making a big deal. I think Tua played great. His numbers were incredible. There was nobody in front of him. I had one of my top 100 players text me this morning who played defensive tackle, and he was like, it was a 7-on-7 game. That's what it was. Yeah. Nobody got in front of him. Yeah. I told Sims, you could have made a lot of those throws.
He could, and Sims is probably about 40 years old. How old is he?
Yeah, I think he's about 40 or so.
You know, it's 536 total yards by the Dolphins. You're going to face a Bill Belichick defense this week. It's going to be a different story.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the rest of your NFL best bets.
Don't forget, Staley's a genius, Matt. Don't forget, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Just ask any of those people in the analytical community.
We'll get to Matt's NFL bets, the rest of the Cardinals, so his college football bets. As we wrap up the show on the other side, this is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games, and who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? The DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in Las Vegas. We got Michael Lombardi out there in North Carolina in preparation for a wedding later on today. Hopefully it's a great one, fun one with TVs. We're going to make sure Big Daddy's got to make sure we get TVs out there. We got to watch this college football slate. Matt Eumanns joining us in segment, or in studio, I should say, for not one, but two segments here. Matt Eumanns, of course, host of VSiN Tonight and co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Thank you to our guests, by the way, Tim Murray, who is the host of the College Football Betting Podcast, host of VSiN Primetime. He joined us earlier in hour number one, as did Stormy Bonantoni, host of the Lombardi Line Sunday through Thursday. Also will be on the sidelines in Chapel Hill for North Carolina and Minnesota. Then thank you to Chris Sims, who joined us about 30 minutes ago, NBC sports analyst. He'll be doing the Michigan State and Washington game in East Lansing. But let's get to the last of your NFL plays and get to your college football plays here, Matt. Sure. You have an NFL teaser teasing a couple of games here. One dog that's going up to 8.5 and a favorite that's going down to 2. What do you like here with your teaser for the week?
What is the teaser I sent you? I've got two of them.
You got multiple. It was Titans plus 8.5 and then the Bills down to 2 against the Raiders.
Okay, I think teasing the Bills down to 2 is a really good play. Now, I was on the Raiders last week. You know, you go on the road, back-to-back road games to open the season. You want to get a split, and the Raiders got that split. Now, Jacoby Myers, I don't think is going to play. Mm. And Jimmy G targeted him a lot last week. He was a big part of the offense. I just think what you're going to get with the Bills is a team that's angry, embarrassed. It was an awful performance by Josh Allen on Monday night, and I think the Raiders are catching the Bills at the wrong time here. So you knock the Bills down to -2. I think that's a great teaser leg. What are you going to pair it with? I bet the Titans plus 3.5 early in the week. And I like the Titans in the game, but now the Lions dropped to 2.5. I would throw that on a teaser. I think there are a lot of teaser options this week, but I would anchor the Bills with whatever you use on half of it, because I can't see the Raiders going in there to win. I do think the Raiders are going to be better than the average Joe thinks and the experts think this season. But I don't like this spot for the Raiders. So it's a good teaser opportunity for the Bills. And then also on Monday night, I'm playing the Steelers. I'm getting plus 3 here. I didn't think I would get 3 with the Steelers. Think about a week ago what a hot commodity the Steelers team was in the betting market.
Yeah. Right?
Now nobody wants the Steelers. You know, the Browns win last week. They're all over Joe Burrow. Kenny Pickett, who was a near-perfect passer in the preseason, he looked bad last week. He threw 2 picks. The Steelers' defense couldn't get many stops. Now, all of a sudden, the Browns roll in, and they're 3-point road favorites. The Browns have a 19-game regular season losing streak at Pittsburgh. The Steelers have won 20 consecutive home games on Monday Night Football. I'm going to go on and on and on. Mike Tomlin's 15-5-3 ATS as a home dog. And I don't like that Cam Hayward's injured and he's out on the defensive line, but sometimes the situation overrides just the injuries and other factors with the game. I got to stick with the Steelers here as 3-point home dogs. I still need to see more from Deshaun Watson. Didn't think he was all that sharp last week either, but you know, compared to Joe Burrow, he looked pretty good. So I do like the Steelers plus 3 on Monday night as well.
Yeah, and are you worried about this injuries for the Steelers? I mean, that's a little, because Hayward being out what bothers me, and then Johnson, you know. But I agree with you that this is about toughness. This is about mental toughness and physical toughness. And, you know, Mike Tomlin had their attention this week for sure. There's no question.
Yeah, I think the Steelers have heard all the negativity this week. Tomlin's going to be riding these guys hard, and it's one of those situations where you got to back the home dog on Monday night. The Steelers, I don't question their toughness at all, even though they looked like the best team in the NFL in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And you could tell in the first 10 minutes of the game against the 49ers, something was off, and they looked like a totally different team. I did want to say one more thing about the NFL. I heard that Matt Brown was criticizing you, Femi, for a rules comment you made on VSiN. Did you shoot back to Matt Brown that he was one of the biggest proponents of Trey Lance when he came out in the draft? And not sure how many people realize this, but I was thinking about this last night. It was August of 2022, Michael, when Lewis Riddick went on ESPN and said Trey Lance was about to take the NFL by storm. I'm still waiting for the storm to hit.
I'm still waiting for that too. I go to my mailbox every day and look for the apologies from the podcast. I can't, you know, that he was on with me.
All right, let's
telling me that, you know. So, yeah, no, hey, if anybody's going to attack Twitter Femi, it's me. No one else can, okay? I put that out there.
No, but you know when
I was. The person that can attack Twitter Femi is me.
Quickly, when I was watching Brock Purdy last week, he's going to get Kyle Shanahan kind of off the hook for that disastrous trade after the number three pick, because you take Purdy with the last pick of the draft, and now he looks like a franchise quarterback. I don't want to call him Tom Brady. But I'll tell you what, Purdy impressed me by the way he played at Pittsburgh last week.
It looked pretty damn good in that game against the Steelers. We got 5 minutes left. Let's transition over to college football. One of the big rivalries of the week, Tennessee at Florida down there in Gainesville. Right now we're seeing 5.5 as the consensus number, total 56.5. I know you like this at a better number. Do you still like it at the current number?
I'll still play it. I think the Gators win the game, but I took them a +7. What I don't like, the Florida coach, Billy Napier. I don't really like the quarterback, Graham Mertz. But again, it's more... there's more to it than the coach and the quarterback here. And I'm also, I need to see it to believe it from Joe Milton, the Tennessee quarterback. Mm-hmm. I need to see it against a legit defense on the road. So far, the Vols have faced Virginia and Austin Peay, two really weak defenses. Everybody talks about Joe Milton and his arm strength. He's not that accurate, okay? Accuracy is more important than being able to throw the ball 85 yards in the air. Mm-hmm. And the Gators have won 9 in a row in the swamp against the Vols. They're 16-2 in the last 18 series meetings. And this is a spot where Billy Napier absolutely has to get the win. He's lost a bunch of big games as a Florida coach, and he's barely hanging on here. This game means a lot to the home dog, and I still don't trust Joe Milton on the road. I took 7 with the Gators. I would still take 6. The line's down to 5.5 at some spots. I think this is a really good home dog today.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that worries me about, I think Tennessee's really good on defense. I think they were good. I know they haven't played very much. You know, Virginia and Austin Peay, no big deal. They give up 13 to each team. But I don't know how Graham Ertz can still have a starting job. He's still playing. I mean, his 20-year career in college football seems to be going a long time. But this will be a hard game for him.
Oh, yeah. Every game's going to be hard for Graham Mertz. He's not that talented. That's my biggest concern with the game is I don't like Napier. I don't like Mertz, but I'm going to count on the Gators here.
Yeah, a lot of time has passed since Mertz's debut against Illinois when we all went crazy and thought Wisconsin found a quarterback. They didn't. How about the backyard?
I think it was, 20 for 21 in that game against Illinois?
He looked awesome and hasn't looked awesome ever since. The backyard brawl, Pitt and West Virginia. Right now, the Mountaineers, 2.5-point favorites, total 47. What's your look here in this game?
Mountaineers can run the ball. They really can. And Neil Brown's another coach who's under a lot of heat who needs a win here at home against in a rivalry game against Pitt. I played this early in the week. I was on with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard at West Virginia +1. And no longer are the Mountaineers home dogs. A major tout service gave out West Virginia 2 days ago and flipped this line, you know, at some places 4 points where you're seeing West Virginia -3. Pitt's got problems on the offensive line. And last week, Jerkovic, the quarterback, was under pressure the whole day. He was 10 for 32 passing in that loss to Cincinnati. I think you're going to see West Virginia control this game with their offensive line and on the ground, and they're going to grind out a win here. I like the Mountaineers in the game they've got to get.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, though. There's so much pressure on Neil Brown there. They got to get this one. This is one of those, you know, you can't let this one slip away, as you mentioned, with Pitt's team. I like this one a lot. I like your Fresno State call against Arizona State. I think Fresno State, you know, laying just 3 at Arizona State, I think that's a really good call.
I got a bunch of college games today. That's one night game I threw in there for you. Fresno. Mm-hmm. Fresno's got an 11-game win streak. And Jeff Tedford's got a coaching mismatch here. Kenny Dillingham, the 34-year-old coach for Arizona State, he got schooled by Mike Gundy last week in the second half. The freshman quarterback, Jalen Rashada, is not that talented. Another guy looks like he was overhyped to me coming in. And you got a young quarterback, young coach. And on the other side, you got Jeff Tedford, who's won 11 in a row, and a quarterback in Mikey Keene, a transfer from UCF, who lit up the Purdue defense a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I like Fresno tonight. -3.
Yeah. The Bulldogs are a well-coached team. Well, this is the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Coming up on the DraftKings Network is Ross Tucker here at VSiN. The sports betting talk and analysis will continue with Live Bet Saturday with JVT and Pam Maldonado at the top of the hour. Real quick before we wrap things up here, though, nothing in for you in the Colorado State game?
Well, I would play it over if I played anything. Okay. The Colorado State defense was getting no stops against Washington State, and I don't think the story is going to be much different today. I did not play the side. I think the numbers inflated, but...
Yeah. Over the total. What can you do with
great
the
job.
Great Thanks, stuff, Michael. As great always. Job, Michael, have fun at the Thanks, wedding. Matt. Make sure you have a good position with the TVs and you're ready to watch all you this football. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman. Thank you to the crew behind the glass. Thank you to you, Matt Eumanns, for joining us for two segments. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line Live Bet Saturday with JVT and Pam Maldonado. Coming up next.